wonderful teaching this morning about the Holy Spirit. I can say that there was a time in my life where I felt like I had some measure of understanding about God the Father because I have a natural father.
Yeah.
And I had some understanding about Christ the Son because I had a son and I was a son. And fathers and sons is something I had some access to. And the Spirit was the tougher part to relate to because there was no Spirit in my family tree. And I could understand what that relationship looked like. But what I've come to understand, Brother Ward, is everything I know about God the Father, everything I love about God the Father, everything I know about Jesus Christ, everything I love about Jesus Christ, I know because of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Right.
What a precious gift.
Right.
That the Lord has been so involved personally, dispatching Himself. He gives of the Spirit the way He gave Himself in the Son. And it is a remarkable thing. I promise you I could spend the rest of our time together telling you how much I appreciate what Brother Michael preached and trying to tack on to it. I'm notorious for doing such. I do have a subject on my mind this morning, and the handle I'm going to grab from that manifold sermon before us is to realize that God is a creator and God is a deliverer.
Yeah.
There is a function that we call creation when God made your natural life. Do you believe that? Do you believe God created your natural body? There's a function we call regeneration. When we believe in that creative power of God, that He speaks life into us where there was none. So God has created your body and He has created your spirit. God is also a deliverer. Just like we said, He's a creator, He's also a deliverer. There's a time when He will deliver your spirit from your body. There's a word for that. And then there's a time when the Lord will deliver your spirit to your body. There's a word for that. I think that word's the resurrection. So I believe in creation. I believe in regeneration. And I believe in resurrection. And I believe that those are gifts of God.
Amen.
That He's able to create life. He's willing to do that and He does it for the money. He creates natural life. He creates spiritual life. I believe that He can deliver my spirit, and I believe that He can deliver my body to my spirit. He can deliver my spirit from my body, and He can deliver my body once it's made fit to be in heaven in immortal glory. He will, Brother Jerry. He will deliver our bodies to our spirits. In the process, He's going to bring our spirits with Him. So we believe in creation, we believe in regeneration, we believe in resurrection. What is the name of that other work? What is that? Is it a gift?
Yes.
Is it a gift that you've been given natural life?
Yes.
Is it a gift that you've been given spiritual life? Brother Jeb, is it a hope of ours that our body might be changed and delivered unto our spirits, that we would be with God in heaven in immortal glory forever and ever? It is. We count that a gift. What is that third thing? How and by what power, by what work does God deliver your spirit from your body? This one sounds a little strange. It's death. Now, I've got to change my mindset about death. Because death is something of which we can be afraid. Death is something that can have a terror to us. Death might be even something that we give the devil credit for. We might say, there is a great enemy. As a matter of fact, this is where I'm preaching myself into a corner, but I'm going to fight my way out of it. The Holy Word of God says death is an enemy. And I believe that, and I'm not going to back away from it. But I will tell you this, Brother Philip. Death is a gift of God. Now, how can that be? How can death be this enemy? If I read that death is my enemy, I can tell you my relationship with my enemies, I don't like them, and I'm afraid of them. And if that's all I know about death is that it's an enemy, it's going to frame my relationship and my feeling about death. But friends, death is a deliverance, and death is a gift. And God has the power of death. Now I'm going to read a verse that you may think I'm going to have some problem with, Brother Mike. I've already worked this one out. Hebrews chapter 12, where many a good sermon ended. Yeah. It's a great place for a sermon to begin. Yeah. In Hebrews chapter 12, where we read this, we heard the beautiful deliverance from Brother Mike and Brother David about the church. And in verse 13, and again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children which God have given me. But it's followed with this fundamental truth.
Yes, it is.
For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. How much? As much. However much you're a partaker of flesh and blood, that's how true this is going to be. This is not metaphorical. It's not allegorical, because you are really flesh and you're really blood. As much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now that sounds, Brother Mike, like the devil has the power of death. Like, you might be tempted to pray for me. Go ahead. Pray for me. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Ron, I've already got this one worked out. The Lord already worked this one out.
Yes, He did.
Because this verse does not say that He might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil. It says that He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now, if we believe that the devil has the power of death, it will frame the way we feel about death.
That's right.
But if we believe that God has the power of death, the devil's going to change the way I feel about it. Because the devil will use things to hurt me. The devil will do things to bring bondage to me, to discourage me, to kill me. But God is not that way with His children. If God has the power of death, how might He use death differently than the devil would use death? You know how the devil uses death? Separation. You know how the Lord uses death? Reunion. Now how could that be? How could the devil say, there goes another one. Another one dead. Another one buried. And the Lord says, another one's come home. I tell you what, whatever power the devil thinks he has over death is so constrained. Like the only thing he can touch is this body. And it's not even counter to the will of God, because I'm going to tell you this, the Lord has the power over death. And having power over death, I'm going to submit to you this morning, the Lord uses His power over death. And do you know how He uses His power over death? He dies you. He dies this whole body. And when He dies this body, something happens, Brother Michael. The Spirit is set at liberty. The Spirit is delivered. God is such a deliverer. And we think, at what cost? Like, for my spirit to be in heaven, this body has to die? Amen. That's all right. That's nothing compared to the price of the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the price. Me dying? That's collateral.
Right.
As a matter of fact, it's not a curse to die. It's a great blessing to die. You know, we heard already this weekend about how important our song service is to our worship. It's not a warm-up. It's part of the worship service. And we heard how important it is that we choose songs that we sing that give God glory and honor and praise. It matters what we sing. There's a man, I'm going to call him a brother, Brother Isaac Watts. He lived, I don't know the dates right now, you can find it in your songbook. But he lived after 1611 and before 1776. He lived after the Lord prospered His word to be published in the English language and before there was ever a United States of America. Now, I think you could learn a lot about people if you look at their songbook. You could learn even more if you hear what songs they choose to sing. But I would encourage you to look through the songbook, and you don't even have to physically do it. You can kind of think about it. How many songs do you believe, and I haven't counted them, so I don't know the answer. Well, my answer is a lot. How many songs do you think are in the Good Old Songs that mention death? It's a lot. It's a lot. Matter of fact, if you're afraid of the devil and you're afraid of death and you think that the devil has the power of death, and you look at our songbook, Brother Jerry, it might be a little strange.
Right. Right.
These people seem to have a strange fixation on death. But I can tell you, friends, there's a hymn. It's number 232. It says, "Why do we mourn departing friends?"
Yeah.
Friends, if you have never played that song through the speakers of a Tahoe between Fredericksburg and Doss on a Saturday morning and cried like a baby, I highly recommend it. There, we have a liberty to have a very strange feeling about death. And there's this spectrum about how we can feel about death. We can dread it. We can be afraid of it. We can, Brother Mark, want it not to come. And then, and that seems altogether so reasonable in our flesh. Because our flesh is what dies, and our flesh don't want to die. I've been at the bedside of people passing on, and there's a part of this body, and I'm telling you, there's a blessing to pass from this life to that life through death. Sometimes it's not particularly pretty, because this body wants to fight. And I'm telling you what, I'm glad that God is stronger. When God would take one of His own, it doesn't matter, Jim. It doesn't matter how much that flesh wants to hang on, the Lord can say, enough. And He can give that deliverance. He can free that spirit. And you know, there's a strange thing too. When I was little, I didn't have a fear of death. And I've met many old people on their deathbed, and Brother Ward, they didn't seem afraid of death. But it's this mental part. How did I get scared of death? And how am I going to get unscared of it? What's going to happen? What happened to me, and what's going to happen to me? What happened to me is that Satan tried to discourage me. And Satan has convinced me the worst thing that happened to you is to die. Far from it. It's not even the worst thing that could happen to your flesh. Like, we can say for your spirit, you know, it's good for your spirit, bad for your flesh to die. But that's not even true. It's good for your spirit, and it is wonderfully good for your body to die. That's why our songbook has songs like, "And am I born to die? Lay this body down." Even Amazing Grace. There's a verse that says, "This mortal flesh." I mean, there's a lot. If you think about it on the drive from Fredericksburg to Dawson, there's a lot of songs we sing about death. And the good ones aren't the ones where we're like shaking in our boots and we're afraid of judgment. You know, I've probably shared this with you before, but there's a time I was talking to my mom about heaven, and I said, "Well, you know, when doomsday comes, you know, we get to go to heaven." And she went, "What?" She was very disappointed in me. What was that? How did you use the look that Brother Bill gave you? Yes, that was the look. What do you mean, doomsday? Right? The only people that call the resurrection morning doomsday are people that don't know the promise of Christ for His people. That no child of God should ever call the morning of the resurrection doomsday. My mother wouldn't have it, and if she were here, she wouldn't let me say it, she wouldn't let you say it either. That's how she was. All right, but if you believe that Christ died for us and that He's conquered death, hell, and the grave, and that when we die, or the morning of the resurrection, we're going to be in heaven. If we believe that it's unreasonable to call the resurrection morning doomsday, if you feel like that's almost laughable, and some of you laughed, right? If we think that's so unreasonable, then Brother Mark, how can we fear death? You have no license to fear death if you think resurrection is going to be a good thing rather than a bad thing. Because just as the Lord's going to deliver your body to your spirit, something has to happen before that, Brother Mark. Something must happen before the Lord can deliver your body to your spirit. And He's got to deliver your spirit from your body. And He does this because He loves us. You have a life within you that never diminishes and is never extinguished. And God doesn't lose track of you or have to like wait while you sleep. This doesn't happen. The body is dead. Congratulations, old body. You know why mortality is a gift? Because of what this flesh is. It's so wrought in self-interest. And it's so sinful. And the moment we're born, we're dying anyway. This body, this body like it is right now is not built for heaven. It doesn't even feel like it's necessarily built for a real long life here. Mine was built for about 39 years, and then 40, I'm like, it didn't work anymore. And that was a long time ago that I was 40. Right? There's a lot of eyeglasses and hearing aids in here. Right? Our faculties fail us. This body, I mean, if it can't last the 70 without falling apart, how worthy would it be for heaven and immortal glory? We need a change. This body needs a change. Now, there's two ways this body can change. One is it can die. The other is it cannot die. And I would say for the vast majority of the children of God, this body's going to die. Now, we have a feeling when we talk about the resurrection that we want to see it from this side. Like, I want the Lord to come tomorrow. I do. I do want Him to come tomorrow. I want Him to come before I die. But if I die, I'm going to see the resurrection from the other side, and it's going to be just as wonderful. No one's going to miss the resurrection. The children are partakers of flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him. Now, since the devil has convinced me that like he's alive and well, I think, Brother Ward, that the Lord hadn't destroyed him. But this says, he took part that through death. Now, what death is that? I believe it's the death of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Last I checked, that's already happened. That already happened. Here we are this morning after the death of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If this is true, and since it's true, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, but Jeff, I'm left with no option but to say, the devil has been destroyed. Doesn't mean he doesn't still have some seed that's coming up. He still, as a roaring lion, is seeking whom he may devour. Because that's all he's got. But I'm telling you, in regard to Satan having the power of death, that changed. That changed when Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Whatever claim that death had on the body, like it was forever or something, that stopped. That stopped when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Like death had been renegotiated. Like when the devil was the boss of death, it was forever. But when Jesus Christ manifested, he's the boss of death, death is but for a moment.
Right.
Well, used to be a burden and a discouragement. The Lord said, that's not how death works anymore. My people need not fear death, just like my people need not fear the resurrection. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. I'm glad it says had.
Yeah.
That is the devil. Yeah, that devil, he still is the one that the Lord destroyed. But he does not have the power of death. And in so doing, verse 15 says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Yeah. Now, there's two ways you can be delivered from the fear of death. One is the Holy Spirit teaching us better.
Yeah.
I really think we could leave here with a better perspective on death than we had before. But I can say, I'm not afraid. Not afraid. The other is it says, deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime. You know how long your lifetime is? It's between your natural birth and what? Your glorious deliverance. You know what happens when you die? Your fear of death is gone. Now, wouldn't it be great if we could, if our fear of death could die even before we do?
Yes.
It can. It can. It should. The children of God should not be afraid of death. But any of them that are afraid of death when they die, that'll be the end of it. Because the devil, you remember we said, he thinks he's the boss of death. Like, when we die, he can't touch us anymore, Brother Ward. Can't touch us. There's another song that talks about Christ coming again. I think it's Isaac Watts. And at the end it says, how long, O Lord? How long until that moment? And it ends with death itself shall die.
Amen.
You know what I believe death itself shall die? The morning of the resurrection.
Right.
Do you want death to die sooner than that? I feel like I might. But Brother Gary, what if I need to be delivered? What if I need to be delivered from this body of death? It's a strange thing, Brother Mark. I'm glad death isn't dead.
Yeah.
Because if I need that deliverance, I pray that the Lord would bring it. On the day before, I don't think it will happen the day of, but the day before the Lord comes again, I think someone will die. I think death will be working. I think there will be saints of God that died the day before the resurrection, and they're going to be in heaven in a world of glory. And I mean, you talk about a quick U-turn. Don't even unpack, right? Like, it's the morning of the resurrection. Like, okay, we're going, right? But I will tell you this, after that person dies, just like we say, you know, the Lord's going to come when? When the last child of God is conceived, right? But when is death finished? Death is finished when the last person before the Lord comes again dies. Because after that, there's no more capacity. There's no more utility. There's nobody else left to die at that point. And there's no deliverance required. Because every one of His people are already going to be alive forevermore. I had some other verses. Let's try them. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And what we're going to find here, there's a couple of passages of Scripture here that I might get shoved back into the corner, Brother Luke. But there's a lot said about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, for example. We'll go there. But here in Romans chapter 6, there is a death that's addressed, and a death of Christ Jesus. Let's begin in verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death. That sounds purposeful. Planted in death. Do you know God is a great husbandman? Do you know He's a good planter? You know what happens to me when I plant? Sometimes what I plant stays in the ground. And I don't mean like it puts out beautiful roots. I mean never to be seen again. Like, you wouldn't know where I planted. You certainly wouldn't know what I planted. Right? Unless I put a little sign. 3D print a little sign. This is asparagus, which I would never do. I would never, ever plant asparagus. But maybe green beans. All right? So here lie Brother Mark's green beans. Right, that's the only way you'd know that they're there. But, Brother Mark, the Lord is a better planter than I am. And when He plants you, His desire is going to be fulfilled.
Yeah, right.
When He puts this in the ground, it's going to bring forth the fruit that He intended. I'm glad that God is a planter. And I don't mind being the seed. I don't mind him planting me. If we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. There's some hope. Matter of fact, this resurrection and death are more closely related than I thought they were. Because it's not just like death and then resurrection. It's death is the deliverance of the spirit from the body, and resurrection is deliverance of the body to the spirit. Like those are going to sit pretty closely together. So closely that, Brother Mark, I might get to a place where I might say, I don't think I can be resurrected unless I die. Now, God has a provision for people that are alive. But for most of us, we're going to die. And it's not something to be sorry about. It's not something to dread. If you dread the coming of the Lord and the morning of the resurrection, then dread death. But you have no license to dread one and welcome the other. It's not doomsday when the Lord comes again, and it's not the day of doom and demise when we die. Or the planting of the Lord. For verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. This is good news. Because your body, if it's like my body, it's a body of sin. And Brother Bill, that body, not fit for heaven, and it won't be there. It cannot be there the way it is. God won't tolerate it. And he's not mocked with what he plants. This is knowing this, the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now, I understand this is talking about some other death and some other life, but I think the principles are here that we're planted in death, and we have a hope in death because of the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Now, what I said is, death itself shall die shortly before the resurrection. But you know when your death is going to die? When you die. That's it. I think Brother Michael said, you only get born again once. You only die once. This way, where you're liberated, where the spirit is liberated from the body. Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. You know what makes death have no dominion over you? When you raise from the dead. There's all death is going to be put away with the resurrection of the morning when the Lord comes back. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We'll move forward here to the end of Romans chapter 6. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. That would make a good song. That would make a good hymn. Wouldn't it be a sweet one to sing, now is Christ risen from the dead? It's in there. It's a good one. Right? We can sing that with confidence. Are you discouraged when you sing that? Now is Christ risen from the dead? It's encouraging that Christ is risen from the dead. Indeed. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. And none of us could do this if Christ hadn't done it first. He made this way. Then cometh the end. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now, again, is it a gift of God or is it an enemy that we ought to fear? Yes. Right? That's fair. That's fair, but what this says is he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. But you remember what he already did? He already destroyed him that had the power of death. That's the enemy. We already heard that this weekend. The devil is the enemy. What he would have you to believe about death, he would love to work that in your mind. He'd love to discourage you about your death and about the death of your loved ones. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we continue in verse 35. And again, this is in the context of the resurrection, but I think if we're talking about this immortality, it's informed by mortality. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Everything else we're going to read about is about the body. This is not about the spirit. It's not about the life of the child of God. The life of the child of God doesn't die. The life of the child of God doesn't go into the grave. The life of the child of God doesn't sleep. The life of the child of God doesn't go some hangout place. Right? We're delivered immediately into the loving arms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But what about this body? Well, we're going to find out this body dies. Now that sounds so terminal, right? And we think of death as a termination. That's what the devil wants you to think. Because if in this life only, we're of all men most miserable. The devil would love you to be miserable. He would love for you to think it's all about your life. It's about the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. Now, I feel kind of foolish. Because what this sounds like, Brother Jeff, is that what I need to understand is that that will be quickened in the morning of the resurrection, it can't be quickened except it die. And that's not the devil's work. That's the Lord delivering my body, delivering my spirit from my body, and watching over my body until he delivers my body. This sounds like death not only is inevitable, it's in front of us, and it's in keeping with the will and the counsel of God for us. That which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may be chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So there's this diversity of bodies, and then there's this diversity of flesh. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. And while we're here, this doesn't tell us, it's talking about that there's no such, well, that evolution is a big lie, but it's here. Evolution's a big lie, right? Like the flesh of man, that's it's of that nature. It didn't come from some other flesh. But it says there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for the star differeth from one another star in glory. So what it sounds like is there's differences in glory, there's differences in body, there's differences in flesh. And friends, because I know my body now, and I know how my body is, I hope there's a change.
Yes.
I hope there's a change in this body. It says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It. What's the it? The body. That's the only thing it can be. So is the resurrection of the dead. The dead what? The dead body. The dead flesh. Not the dead spirit. Your spirit's not going to die.
Right.
That's why your spirit doesn't need to be afraid of death. There's no death in front of your spirit. You were dead in trespasses and sin. Now you're alive. See, in our flesh, we think everything's about life and death. As far as the spirit, it's death and life. We were dead. Now we're alive, never to die again. That's the course of the spirit. Now the flesh is alive to die. Why? So that it may live again. This is a deliverance. Without death, there's no resurrection. We need a change. And again, I got to keep going to that asterisk. There'll be some get a different, like a really interesting change. Like they'll be alive when the Lord comes. And we won't all sleep. In other words, the bodies won't all go into the grave. But Brother Mark, this must happen for each and every one. We'll all be changed. If you want to be alive the morning of the resurrection, okay, and the Lord comes, Do you know your body's going to be changed? And you know it's going to be changed, I think, basically the same way it would be changed if you died? Right? Same thing's got to happen. We're about to find out what those things are. There's some things that are one way, got to become another.
That's right.
Okay? Death is one way to change those things from one thing to another. Resurrection is a manifestation. Something was sown one way, it's going to be raised another. Now, if I sow something and I raise another, that's not the way it works for me. Right? I would say, I got mocked. Like, I planted green beans and this is asparagus. Not cool. Right? But for the Lord, when He plants this mortal body, and what a mortal body means is it can die. And I tell you what, if you're a vile, bankrupt sinner like I am, and that sin is in your flesh, I am so glad this body can die.
Yeah.
I'm so glad this body will die. Because the only good part of me is the part that the Lord said is alive and will never die. Like, what if only the bad part of you could die? Would it change your feeling about death? Because that's the truth.
Yeah.
Only the bad part of you can die.
That's right.
If only the bad part of you could die, wouldn't you want it? Right? You go to the doctor and say, I'm not going to cut all your skin, just this one lesion. I'm going to just take the cancer. Would you want him just to take the cancer?
Yes.
I would.
Yes.
What if the Lord could say, I'm going to just touch the bad part of you and make it good. The part that's good, that I spoke good, that's fine. It needs not a change. If we understand this, if you want to be alive in the morning of the resurrection, and you believe the Word of God, Brother Gary, you have a change coming. And nobody seems to be afraid of that. Nobody seems to be worried about getting changed on the... Like, I almost, Brother Mark, I'd rather do it that way. I'd rather be changed on the morning of the resurrection than dying. What the Lord says, what's the difference? What's the difference? A difference probably cost of one coffin. That's the difference. Like, there'd be some people that get a really free ride as far as a funeral is concerned. There'd be some people going to die without having to get buried. Okay, so we have reason to want to do that. But if we fear that not, if you don't fear the change that would happen if you were alive in the morning of the resurrection, Brother Jeff, we got no license to fear death.
That's right.
We have no license to fear when our loved ones die. Why do we mourn departing friends? There's an answer to that. What part of us mourns departing friends? Either a part of us that doesn't understand death, or a part of us that feels the separation. Because we love them. I love you. I don't want you to die. But boy, do I want you to die. It'd be fine with me if we're just all changed. But I wouldn't want you not to die. I wouldn't want you not to be changed. I want you to be as ready for heaven in the body as you are in the spirit. I mean, that's the only way it could be better than it was this weekend. Right? So we have that promise, that deliverance, and we ought not fear death. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. Sown in weakness. Raised in power. Sown a natural body. Raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. If there weren't, we wouldn't need to change. We need a change. I don't need an exchange.
Right, right.
I don't need to change my natural body for a spiritual body. I need my body to be changed from a natural body to a spiritual body. And you know who can do that? God can do that. And you know how He chooses to do it so very often? He puts this body, He plants this body in the ground. And then He watches over it. And He waters it and cares for it. The body doesn't need that, but I'm saying the Lord knows where He's planted His children. Right? He doesn't lose track of us. As a matter of fact, the body is the purchased possession. When Jesus Christ died, He died for these bodies, and He will redeem that He paid for. And each and every one for whom He died, each and every one of them regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Each and every one that had a Holy Spirit, the Spirit within them, Christ in them, the hope of glory, that Spirit gets liberated from the body. And then, Brother Ward, the body gets liberated to the spirit. Let's close, and I'm out of time. But that was Brother Michael's time.
I just say that because Brother Michael and I are very similar in this regard, and I'm glad I got to go second. Right? And as ornery as I sound, I'm more forgiving than the lunch hour, so I'm going to try to be thoughtful about that. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's see, we were already there in Hebrews chapter 2. I said Hebrews chapter 12 before, that was Hebrews chapter 2. Let's go to Philippians, we'll close here. Actually, let's go to, well, I'll tell you what, time is up anyway. We'll stop here. What I can tell you is, without reading any more scripture, is God has promised, just like he promised that he would make you, and he did, and he promised he would quicken you in the Holy Spirit, like he did. There's a promise, Brother Jerry, that this spirit is going to wing its way away from this body. And there's a promise that this body is going to be changed, made like unto the glorious body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're going to be in heaven in immortal glory. With that perspective, you can say, and am I born to die? You can say, how sweet it is to die. Every song that you sing, when you see it talk about your death, realize that instead of us mentioning how afraid that we are of death, or what a bondage, or an albatross that it is about us, Brother Philip, we can sing about death with a liberty that's informed by the Spirit by which God has told us that he's promised that we will be with him, soul, body, and spirit. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.